John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing. Nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Arise, shine, your light has come. George MacDonald, one of the best children's fantasy authors of the 19th century, was a master at using the contrast between light and darkness in his short stories. In one particular short story entitled The Day Boy and the Night Girl, he contrasts between a girl who never had seen the daylight and a boy who was afraid of the darkness. Our entire lives are governed by the rhythm of light and darkness, of night and day. The Bible indeed itself contrasts between two kingdoms, the kingdom of light of God and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan of this world. You may be alarmed to know, if you don't know it already, this is a planet of darkness. Yes, you and I live on planet Earth, which is not ruled by the light. It is ruled primarily by the prince of darkness. But like flicking on a switch in a dingy and damp basement, Christmas marks the dawning of light into our darkness. We want to reflect upon that light. The light of Christmas, this light was prophesied in the Old Testament. This life, this light is needed in our own day, and this light is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. First, let's consider that this light was prophesied in the Old Testament. In the very first chapter, indeed the very first sentence or two, we read in Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Then notice, after the initial act of creating a mass of substance, we read these words, darkness was on the face of the deep. Then God said in verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. Can you imagine complete darkness? Can you imagine God dwelling in eternity past? No light, complete darkness upon the face of everything that is, it was void, it was empty. And then into this darkness God spoke, let there be light. And there was light. Have you ever watched the sun come up? I don't mean as you're driving to work casually, look over and you see the sun rising. I mean sit poised, waiting. One holiday season when I was dating my present wife, We were separated some 250 miles to show the extent to which those very much in love will go to spend only a few moments, a few minutes, maybe an hour or so with one's future spouse. I drove all night just to be there. I got there too early. I knew her father wouldn't let me in the house. So I went to Belhaven Lake and I sat on the bank and I watched the miracle of a day being created as light began to diffuse through the trees and the darkness dispelled. Imagine what it must have been. Another light was prophesied in that passage that Harry read to us in Isaiah chapter 60 in the first few verses. Arise, shine, your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Do you know to whom Isaiah was speaking? He was speaking prophetically to a people who were in the darkness of 70 years captivity. They had been in Babylon, in chains, in bondage. They were in the proverbial darkness when Isaiah prophetically says, arise and shine, for your light is come. The light was prophesied for these people in darkness in ancient Israel 800 years before Christ. But this light is a light that we need in our own present world. We cannot by ourselves discover or find God. Not because He is in darkness, but because we are in darkness. That is our bondage. Why do you think there's so many different religions in the world? It is because man is in darkness. And in his spiritual darkness, he is groping for that which he cannot discover. He is trying to find God seemingly, but he cannot because God is in the light and man can't find him. You see, Ecclesiastes 3 says that God has set eternity in their hearts. So it doesn't matter whether you go to the center of Moscow or whether you go to Seoul, Korea, or whether you go to the Philippines or to Mexico City, you will find there beats in the heart of man a desire to know that which is greater and beyond himself, the supernatural, for which he seeks, and yet he seeks it in darkness. Proverbs says that the soul of man is the lamp of God. The soul of man. You see, God, by giving you a soul, has given you a lamp. But the lamp is not burning. It has been blown out at the fall. That's why you and I are in darkness. But that's why, even though there are so many religions and man seeks God, Christianity may not be said to be a religion because Christianity is God seeking man in the miracle of the incarnation at Christmas when God became flesh. You see, God has the flashlight. And he can find the way out of the darkness in which you are. We are in darkness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says this. Ephesians 4, 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, we're in darkness. Then flip over to chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once in darkness, but now are you light. And then in chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. Do you get the picture? This world is dominated by a darkness. For which there is only one source of light. Now there have been other prophets in our day in the 20th century. Other men who have come on the scene who have claimed to have wisdom and the ability to show other men, mankind, the way. These men have claimed to have light either by way of education or technology or science or however they claim to have wisdom and to be able to show man a better way. Such a man was H.G. Wells, an author, an extraordinary man, really. He represented the hope of all men. Early in his life, he wrote a book called The Conquest of Time. And in his book, H.G. Wells had a closing chapter, and the closing chapter was entitled The Religion of the New Man. And in that book, he said, we don't need God, we do away with the Word. All we need is the new science and technology, and we're moving ahead, and we're making progress. It was optimistic, it was hopeful. But then, by the end of his life, the last book that H.G. Wells wrote, a shocking title, was entitled this, The Mind at the End of Its Tether. He said this, and I quote, the world is at the end of its tether. The end of everything we call life is at hand, and it cannot be evaded. And he died. That is the luminary that we put our faith in the 20th century. Some did. You and I need a light, a luminary, to dispel the darkness in which we find ourselves. And that is none other than the light that has come into the world. I said that this light was prophesied 800 years before the coming of Christ. I said this light is what we need too. There are many voices that tell us, this is the way, walk ye in it. But there is only one final and ultimate light to dispel your darkness and mine. And this is the light that we celebrate at Christmas. It is the light of the Son of God. Christ is the light. We read that. In fact, in the very passage we read from the New Testament in John chapter 1, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Isn't it interesting that at the birth of Christ, light always played an important part? You ever notice that when the angels appeared to the shepherds, the glory of the Lord shone, the light
was about them?
How was it that the wise men discovered the child? They were guided by a bright star because the light was coming. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and in me is no darkness at all. I am the light. To know Christ is to have light, and to have light is to have eternal life. Jesus told the woman who was taken in adultery, when those who were trying to convict her brought her to Jesus, Jesus simply drew in the sand with his finger. He who is perfect, let him cast the first stone. No one did. They left. She looked at him. He looked at her. Where are your accusers? There are none. Neither do I accuse you. And then he said, I am the light, and he who believes in me shall not walk in darkness. You see, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that's what we celebrate at this Christmas time. Christmas is a reminder that the light has risen. Christmas is a reminder that the sun has erupted into its full noonday brightness, and yet most of us still have our shades down. Most of us are living as if we had no light, as if Jesus Christ was a thing of the past. Christmas is a reminder that anyone who wants to have this light may do so. For Jesus said, whosoever will may come and receive the light that lightens every man. He told the woman of Samaria, the water that I give to you will be in you a spring of water, and it's no different from the light. The light that he gives to you will be a light that shines brighter and brighter until in that final day in Revelation 21:23, where the prophecy of John said in his vision of heaven, there will be no sun nor moon there. For God the Father and God the Son will be their light. You see, Jesus Christ is the light. I wonder how many of us here can really say, the darkness has been dispelled, and I have the light of Christ in my own life, and I know that I have that eternal light, and the security of knowing eternal life is mine because the life is in me. But there's another reminder. Not just to provide us with eternal life did Christ come at Christmas, but also to give to us the light to live for Him right now in the present. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If there are two Christians And if they're not walking in fellowship with each other, it is because that either one or both of them are not walking in the light. Because Jesus said, or the Word of God says, if you have the light of Christ in your heart, and if you walk in that light, you will have fellowship with another believer in Christ. Christmas is a reminder that the light has come not only for eternity, but also to bring us back into oneness with ourselves, with our husbands or wives or children, or our one-time friends. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill, Jesus said, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and hide it under a bushel, but they put it on a lampstand so that it gives light to all within the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are the light. How much of the light are others seeing from us? Unlike a nuclear explosion, which explodes and the noise and the decimation and the dehumanization of its nuclear power creates a people who are mutant, the invasion of light into the world was done quietly and almost secretly. But the invasion of the light of Jesus Christ is more powerful than any nuclear explosion or bomb that any man could ever create. A nuclear explosion will create the darkness of dehumanized mutants. The light of Jesus Christ coming into the world will create transformed men and women and teenagers and young people. You see, there are only two kinds of people in the world. There are the children of darkness, the mutants of darkness, who are the children of this world. And there are the children of God who have been transformed by the light. I wonder, which one are we this morning? What about you, the children of light, or the children of darkness? The mutant of this world, or the real man, the real woman that God intended you to be, because you have the light of Christ in your heart. Let's pray.